All right. So last time we ended off, we were just talking about the Sefer Avos Chesed has a list of rules of what are the exceptions to Amavazvez Ali Vazvez Yosef Mechomish. So we mentioned one rule was if he was an usher muflug, if he was exceptionally wealthy. We pointed that out from the from Yaakov Emden and the Shailas Yaivitz. Has a very long tshuva about this whole topic. It's very worthwhile to check it out. We pointed out last time how you could learn that according to this, either that the takana was never made for such an individual, or the reason was part of the takana, whatever you want to learn it. It's pretty beferish in Tosfos and Bava Kamma, where he points out that even though Rebbe was such an usher, he wasn't able to do it. And whatever, okay. L'maisa that we just saw the Gemara in the sixth parak, and it's also a paskin in Shulchan Aruch in Yoredei Resh Memtes, that if you're about to die, you're allowed to give more tzedakah than you need. We mentioned that. We just came across that Gemara today in the sixth parak. Also, we said that that doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, the Shita Mukubetzis on Ardaf, on Daf Nun, writes that it's permissible to give as much as you want for Hachzakas Talmud Torah. And the Svar is an obvious Svar. He basically says when you, I think I said this over last time, no? What's the Svar? I don't know, you tell me. Anyway, so what's the Svar? What? It's an investment, meaning it's an interesting thing. We'll get back to this at the end. The Chazon Ish mentioned a similar Svar. We'll mention this later. That you're allowed to buy things, meaning there's no iser in the Torah or midrabanan. Let's say you have $10 to your name and you see an ice cream cone that you want to buy. So you're like, well, it's going to be more than 20% of my current savings to buy the ice cream cone. So it's permissible to buy the ice cream cone. It's not, you're allowed to take your last $10 and eat dinner. You don't have to say, well, I really shouldn't spend my last $10. You're allowed to spend all your money on things that you want. It's not recommended. I think I said this last time. The Avos Chesed has a whole section. It's kedai to read it inside in the end of Perek Chaf in Chelik Beis that he goes crazy about people who live beyond their means and who spend too much money just so they'll look rich and they wind up in big trouble and whatever. It's kedai to... Yeah. Maybe I should move up. It's too far. Am I too far? Because I really can't talk any louder. It's just a long, long week. Anyway, so whatever. Lamaisa. Yeah, usually it's quieter. So, some kind of Taras Nadarim going on over there. We got the wrong guy sitting, the wrong guy standing. Okay. Anyway, all right, so anyway, the... won't even make a little bit of sense. Okay, so anyway, check out the Avos Chesed. You can read the whole parak. It's Kedai. But also, we pointed out anything else. So we said for Talmud Torah, for personal... also, we mentioned out the exception in terms of if an ani is right in front of you. So you just have to help him. You can't not help somebody who's in need. Now, obviously, it goes without saying if it's for pikuach nefesh. But even if it's not pikuach nefesh, you just push it as nothing to eat. Okay, so you can go three days without drinking anything or three, whatever. You can go many days without eating, many days without drinking. So the guy's not going to die, but so that the ani's not hungry. If you say, well, I already gave my 20% for the month, so that's not necessarily an excuse. Yeah? So the pashtas I understood, and I'm not sure. Right. So I would argue like you that it would be because of the you can't ignore him. No, not mitzad the mitzvah saseiv tzedakah, but you can't ignore someone who's right in front of your face. No, it's again. He's giving exceptions when the rule doesn't apply. In other words, it doesn't mean that there's a lumdus in Hamavazves that they program this exception into the rule book. It just means that when you're setting aside your money for tzedakahs, so you So you should give this also. I heard a psak. I don't remember who told me, but I heard a psak. It might have been Rav Klapos, but I'm not sure that he heard a psak once that because since there is such a din that if an ani comes to you, you mamish chayev to give him, because there's, in addition to whatever chiyuv tzedakah you have, there's also an isser not to give tzedakah, as we pointed out in the past. So you really you should give everybody something. So the question is, does that apply to letters in the mail? Meaning, I can only imagine what people who give a lot of tzedakah get. I've had days where my only mail has been envelopes for tzedakahs, saying like it'll be like 7-8 envelopes in a day, you know, especially around certain times of the year, Hanukkah time, forget about it, like Pesach, Purim. So you can get. I'm sure for people who are big balei tzedakah, could probably get 25-30 envelopes in the mail on a given day. So does that count as an ani coming to your door? So I heard a psak, again, I don't know who the name of, but I heard a psak that doesn't count as an ani coming to the door. That if you don't want to give tzedakah to every single envelope that gets shoved into your mailbox, you don't have to give. But yeah.
So if you think you guys are mine, so then you still give a little bit, or should we?
No, if you happen to be you have some knowledge that the guy's literally a faker, saying
You think that based on what you see from
him. Yeah, listen, I mean, Emadayan Nilamashain of Rose, I'm saying, but so you have to make a judgment whether or not you think the guy's legitimate. Right? But I'm not talking about illegitimate stalkers. I'm talking about legitimate stalkers. It doesn't mean like, well, I'm a Gerichasid and this is a Satmar organization, or I'm not an Orthodox and this is ultra Orthodox. I'm not talking about that. That avada you have to give. I'm saying like, Doesn't mean that you should give them the lion's share of your money, right? Rashad, you should check it out on Torah Web. He has a phenomenal shiur on what's considered aniyei ircha, in general. What's the tuition? He talks about the tuition crisis in general, and what a tzedakah crisis. It's kedai to listen to the shiur. There's another nice shiur on Torah Web you should hear. But whatever. Anyway, Lamaisa, there's a. He has a long share where he discusses. He doesn't think Aniyei Ircha is a geographic koveya. You ever heard this word before? Aniyei Ircha doesn't mean somebody lives in your city. You live in New York City, so therefore, this guy lives in New York City. You live in New York City. You should give him money. So he said, like the guy came to collect to him from the Kleisenberger Kailo. So he says, okay, well, that's nothing against the Kleisenberger. They're fantastic, but like I have no shaykhis. Like I never learned in their kol. I never heard shiurim from somebody who learned in the kol. I never read a sefer from them. I'm saying like you could. Kleisenberger Rebbe has very nice tshuvas, Divrei Yatziv. But okay, I read one tshuva my whole life from the Divrei Yatziv. But lamaisa, you don't. That's not aniyei ircha just because they happen to be in the same borough as you. I'm saying aniyei ircha means people with whom you have a shaykhus. Even if let's say you went to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael and the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael needs money. That's aniyei ircha because you have a shaykhus to those people. In the times of Chazal, when they said aniyei ircha kodmin, it meant who else would you possibly have a shaykhus to? You're not going to another country to sit and learn Torah. You're gonna learn in your own city. So you're gonna have a shaykhus to the people in your own city. But if you had a shaykhus to an organization or to a particular ani that you met and he doesn't live near you, but if he's the guy that you know, as opposed to some guy you never met but he happens to live three blocks away, that doesn't make him more aniyei ircha than somebody else. You have to keep that in mind. So obviously, a person should give the lion's share of the tzedakah to the people that he has a shaykhus to. But that doesn't preclude everyone else from giving a certain percentage to everyone else. So you have to hold that it's a legitimate tzedakah. You have to hold if the guy comes and he says whatever. I'm saying you can decide for yourself what you think is legitimate. But yeah. Right. So Tosfos says that. Let's take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos on Daf Lamed says. I meant Daf Nun. Sorry. Yeah. Daf Lamed just came up. Anyway, Tosfos on Daf Nun says. Ayivaz Yosmi Chomesh Mefarish Birushalmi Shepam Rishona Yochel Avaz Beis Chomesh. Meaning the first time you give tzedakah. Let's say for argument's sake, the first time you're financially independent. Is you have a summer job and you get paid for your summer job, so now you have a bank account with money in the bank. So give 20% of that, you can give chomesh of that, and then umikan ve'elach b'chol shana v'shana yitin chomesh areva. You can make a yearly cheshbon So you know, it doesn't dafka have to be a yearly cheshbon. It could be a paycheck to paycheck cheshbon. It could be a monthly cheshbon. Could be, however you make the cheshbon, but it means that you know, it means that you should have a running account of how much money you made since you gave that first chomesh and how much money you earned since then and what you need to give to tzedakah. Yeah.
I understand why you would be allowed to use your last dollars for investment. Like, tzedakah, the reason for the tzedakah would still apply in that case. You're still gonna, I'm saying, what's the problem being nishtaris al-briyos? Like, it doesn't matter in which situation, as long as you're nishtaris al-briyos, and that's obviously what we're afraid of. No? So even for investments, you shouldn't be like,
for sure. Listen, that we also have this other Mamari Chazal that indicate that a person should never put himself in a situation where he has to take tzedakah, saying we say, Asei Shabbat Chachol Val Yitzdarech Lebrios, meaning it's better to eat weekday food on Shabbos and not have to take tzedakah, meaning if Shabbos comes around and you have a choice to take tzedakah or to eat canned tuna for Shabbos, so you should eat the tuna. You shouldn't dafka take from tzedakah in order to have a nicer Shabbos meal. But l'maisa, at the end of the day, you're not doing an avera if you spend money on something you think is worthwhile. You might be a fool, saying you might be dead wrong, but sof kol sof, they didn't make a gzera that you may never spend X amount of your money on something you feel like buying. Saying they dafka did it by mitzvahs. I don't know, I'll get back to that in 1 second, but... But anyway, this is just an interesting ha'ara in the Maram Shif here. It's a little short ha'ara. He says, on the Gemara, which says, "My kra, what's the pasuk?" So we spoke about this last time. Why do they need a pasuk? So he says, "After takonahi, acha takona havi shelo yevazvez yoser mechomish." The takona, it says, even though the takona was you shouldn't give more than 20%. Aval. But there were already existed a concept of chomesh. Right? So he said, I'm sorry, lose my mind here. Yoser. So he said that the chiddush of the takana wasn't this 20%. The 20% was already in the Torah. Meaning, the Gemara understood that the whole thing was a takana, not like Rabbi Kiva Eger wanted to say, "B'shem Yerushalmi," right? And but rather that the whole thing was a takana. So where did they get the 20% from? That was the shaila, like we said last week. That's pretty much what we said over last time. That the question of the takana was, where'd you get your 20% from? So Maram Shiv is just explaining that, and based on this, a lot of people say that's the pshat, that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that it's not only that you're not allowed to give more than 20%, but if you give 20%, that's the best way to do tzedakah. Meaning, you can play both sides. When it comes to giving tzedakah, there's an inyan to give 20%. The midas chasidus is to give 20%, unless the Rambam says the midas chasidus is to give over 20%. I don't want to get involved in that. But the midas chasidus is to give 20%. That's the best of the best. The midas beinonis is to give 10%, and less than that, you know, you're considered a little bit cheap. But Lemaisa, 20%, meaning there already existed a concept of giving 20% beforehand, we're just making a takana, don't give more than that. But the concept of 20% always existed, and that's what they're being masmich themselves on in the pasuk. That's how the Maariv Shif wants to learn, and I think that's along the lines of what we said last time. Okay, so the question now is, does this apply to all mitzvahs, or does it just apply to tzedakah? So, again, it's not a raya, but if you look in Rashi, if you read Rashi on Divra Maslo Hamavazves, he uses one word. He says Hamavazves l'aniyim. You're giving money to aniyim, right? He could have easily written l'mitzvos. He could have easily written anything, but he dafka wrote l'aniyim. So I think the pashup shot in Rashi is that he holds that it's dafka for the mitzvah of tzedakah that you're not supposed to spend more than 20%. But for other mitzvos, that's not the shear. For other mitzvos, there could be some other amount. I don't know. We have to see what that is. But l'maisa, sounds from Rashi that this only applies to aniyim. And therefore, other mitzvos, there is no such rule that you only pay 20% for the mitzvah. Anyway, okay. So that's Rashi. Yeah.
Could that be a shot in the question of Mike? What's the possibility that this doctor should find a stutter?
Right, but then there would be a bad answer. Meaning, it's actually the mashmos is not like Rashi, saying from the fact that they learned the pasuk, anything you give me, I'll dedicate 20% to you, Hashem. Meaning that sounds like it could be talking about kudshim, could be talking about stam mitzvahs, it could be talking about anything. Saying, well, you could say it's from a meiser. Saying like, we use the term meiser b'zman hazeh because we don't have real meiser, but like the real term meiser isn't staka except meiserani. Saying, what do you mean meiserani? Yeah, so you have to say that's how Rashi would learn. I'm saying that the aser asren alach is a lashon of, is just talking about amounts, not talking about dafka meiser versus meiser ani versus meiser rishon, meiser whatever. Saying, but lemaisa, the pasuk itself just seems to say you dedicated stam to avodas Hashem. But on the other hand, the question really is then why tztaka more than any other mitzvah? Why say this rule by tztaka and we don't have the rule by lulav and esrig, we don't have the rule by shofar, we don't have the rule by anything? Yeah, you have an answer? Yeah, I guess to be honest, you know, one would think that it's talking about just aniyim, but I never heard anybody that said like that. If you look on the Pirush Mishnayos, the opening, take a look at when you get a chance in the opening Mishnah in Maseches Peah that we say every morning after Birkas HaTorah. So there, the Mefarshim all discuss this issue because it says Elu Dvarim She'ein Lahem Shiur. And one of them is Gmilas Chasadim. So if you look in the Mefarshim Mishnayos there, they ask the Kasha, what are you talking about? Gmilas Chasad has no shear. It has a shear of a chomesh. So they give different answers depending on who you look at. I don't remember who says what, but if you look in the Mefarshim, look in the Rav, look in the Rambam, look in the Rash, you know, they all give, Tosfos Yontif has over there, Tiferes Yisrael has over there. I'm saying like, they all give different answers. Some say, no, talking about Chesed Begufo, then there's no shear. Chesed Begufo, if you could visit a million sick people, visit a million sick people. It doesn't matter. You know, if you can help out somebody who needs help a million times over, do a million times over. But when it comes to Chesed B'mamono, then already it's a cap at 20%. And others say not like that. Others say that it's talking about Midaraisa. Midaraisa, there's no shear for Chesed B'mamono also. But Midarabanan, they put a cap on it at Chomish. But who had the nami for a person who could afford it or a person who was one of those exceptions, there is no shear for how much you can help out. Yeah.
Two things to say. One is, what do you think within Rashi, giving more than Amavaz is to giving someone money who's not an ani? He's not necessarily an ani, but at this moment in time, he needs money, like, and it's not even a loan, but do you think that's also considered an ani, or he has to be mamish an ani with no money?
You're not giving him, you're giving him stam a gift?
I mean, I think, you know, he doesn't have enough money at the time right now, like to make this big business deal or something like that. So, like, would you ever be allowed to give more than about this?
First of all, there is a concept called an ani bosa shah, meaning if at that moment they have no money, they aren't. They have a din of an ani bosa shah, meaning it's a shiloh whether or not you should try to pay it back. But maker, I didn't have to pay it back. Rav Shechter told us that when he was a student in yeshiva, they used to walk to the Bronx to hear Rabbi Gorelick. Rabbi Yerucham Gorelick was a Talmud of Briskarov, he was a Rebbe in YU, and he used to give a Shabbos Hagadol Drasha and a Shabbos Shuba Drasha. So they used to walk from Washington Heights to the Bronx to hear Rabbi Gorelick's Shabbos Shuba Drasha or Shabbos Hagadol Drasha, whatever, I don't remember. But they used to, you know, I don't know if they wanted to walk the streets of the Bronx. You know, Washington Heights was the good neighborhood back then. The Bronx, I don't think, was ever such a good neighborhood. So he used to tell them if they wanted to, they could call a taxi and take a cab back, and they could take money from the tzedakah box because they were an ani bosa shah. They didn't have a penny on them. And he said, if you want to pay it back, you could pay it back. But if you don't want to pay it back, you're not mechuyav maker adin because you're an ani bosa shah. So there is an inyan, even if the guy is not poor in the classic sense, but he pashut has nothing. Let's say he's just waiting on a paycheck. Saying, I had this situation in my own. My wife works for the public school district, and they pay when they get around to it. Like, they have in her contract, it's like ridiculous. They could pay you up to 3 months late. So I'm saying whatever. Baruch Hashem, it hasn't ever been a major issue with us. But she has a coworker whose husband learns in Kollel, and she's the only breadwinner in the family, and she wasn't getting paid. So Lamaisa, they have a dinner on Ibosa Shah. So they're not poor people. They have enough money, but today they should have no money. You know, so you have to, there's just as big of a chesed issue over there also. So I'm saying, as there is by a poor guy who has no prospects for money. Yeah.
Are we defining a name as like people who don't have like liquid, you know, money or like?
Right. Well, that's what Yoni was saying. Meaning the guy just has no money. Meaning like again, when you're in the shul on Motzei Shabbos and you need a taxi and you have no money, so you have assets. You might have a bank account, but if the bank account is just some number on a computer screen that you can't access, well, I see you have no money. So obviously, ethically speaking, one might want to pay that back, you know, maybe even be mosif. You know, like that's what they do in the five towns. The Hatzolah of the five towns has a very nice thing when a woman's in labor. You ever heard this before? I think I said it over when we're talking about Hutcher versus the Chuya, right? So yeah, so Lamaisa, they say after Shabbos, make a donation to Hatzolah. So I guarantee you they make more money than they spend on the whole deal. You know, I can only speak for myself. I never had to use the cards, but if I would use the card, I would feel a lot of course at Tov Tatzola. I would want to make a bigger donation than whatever it costs them to pay the taxi company, you know? Saying, I can't imagine I'm the only one, you know? So like, Lamaisa, you know, ethically speaking, you're not bound to make a donation to Tatzola. It's their service that they're willing to provide because at the time you need that money, right? But at the end of the day, you get the point. Okay. Anyway, just in terms of does it apply to other myths? Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, okay, what do you got?
I maybe I was supposed to like, whatever, being on the Ma'odom versus being on the Ma'odom, something like that. That, I don't know, it's like who says that you have to be like give up like your money or like your financial your like you're in good financial situation for another person so you can be like, I don't know, I was thinking about kind of like Yagor. It's like you know, it's like who like more so like I don't know, like whatever. Like who says that you're blessed than his, but you can say whatever. It's like you can also say the other way around.
Why? Well, you go with Rabbi Akiva Shita. Rabbi Akiva Chayecha Kodman Chayecha Vercha, right?
Something like that. Right. So it's like when it comes to like you and a different person, so who says that you have to be in Sar because in order to help out this person, when it comes to you and Hashem, in order for you to do that mitzvah, so maybe like that you have to sacrifice in order to...
Right, I hear that. Meaning, so you we know whose blood is redder between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but exactly. We're not sure whose blood is redder when it comes to this guy. Yeah. Okay, maybe. Like what? Right. And the Vazvez wouldn't apply to what I'm saying. Well, it's interesting, by the way. Rav Moshe has a discussion: how much time should you spend doing kiruv? Right? You know, you ever seen that tshuva? There's a tshuva where it's kedai to look at it. He says, how much time should you spend doing kiruv? Or if you're a guy in a kollel or a yeshiva and you're an advanced guy, how much time should you spend learning with a less advanced guy or whatever? So he says, basically, just like there's an inyan of Meiser Ksofen, there's also an inyan of Meiser Zman. Give up 10% of your time to be Makarev people or to help people who aren't learning as well as they could be right now, you know, whatever the case may be. So he says, there's an inyan of Meiser Zman also. He gives you a bracha that you're not going to lose out. Anyway, so Pashta says there would be such an inyan, meaning why do you have to be a shmata? Why do you have to? You're also, you have a responsibility to yourself. You have a responsibility on one hand to your friend that you should help him, and you have a responsibility to yourself. You shouldn't become an ani v'yitzdarach lebrius that now you don't know how to learn, you need a tutor. So I'm saying, okay, so yeah, it's a difficult question. Anyway, Lamaisa, just getting back. So we have a svara here why maybe it should dafka apply to the mitzvah tzedakah. I thought of two other balbatish svaras why it could only apply to tzedakah. Now, first of all, maybe because, you know, again, this is a very balbatish svara, but, you know, whatever. Lamaisa, the irony of the situation is too great that Chazal couldn't pass up on it. Meaning, they're saying, like, you can't become an ani because you gave too much tzedakah. That's just a stirim in Eobay. Like we can't have that on our heads that a person should dafka go out of his way to support aniyim and end up becoming one of the aniyim. Meaning like you're solving the problem by creating a problem. So in other words, they dafka did it when it comes to tztaka. I bought an expensive esrog and I also became an ani. Yeah, so that's obviously foolish. But like on the other hand, it's not completely a steer mine obey to what you were trying to accomplish. You basically made a statement, it's worth it for me to buy a Mahudar Esrig that I should be poor, right? Masha'en Kane, you can't argue it's worth it for me to become an Ani so that I should support Aniyim. right? It doesn't. It's just a stira mineu bay. So they weren't going to stand for that. I don't know. That's one mahalach. The second mahalach is also I guess they're both balabatish as far as that you can't be somech on the concept of the school for Ashiris coming from tzedakah. Meaning, even though you know we mentioned that the brace of it says that if you want a good way to preserve your money, dafka give a lot of tzedakah, and it's a school in the floor for Ashirus and aser kadesh tis asher, right? They says you know that's another word, aser taser aser kadesh tis asher, right? So you're going to become rich if you give a lot of tzedakah, and you're going to preserve the money that you have because you give a lot of tzedakah. So a person thinks to himself, gevaldik, the more I give, the richer I'll become. So he just keeps giving and giving and giving. And again, you're not allowed to be somich on the skula, you know, or on the nace, that if you give away all your money, you're going to end up a very rich man. It's true, but like you can't hold HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a timetable or to a calculator and say, well, right now God owes me X amount of dollars in past tzedakah donations, so therefore I deserve it. You know, I don't know. So that's another possible way that because dafka by tzedakah, there is a fear that people will make such a cheshbon, so they dafka asur it by tzedakah. Yeah. Right. Ironically, tzedakah is an exception to that rule. Halacha l'maisa, when you get a mishab, you ever get a mishaberich, it's worthwhile to make a donation to tzedakah. If you ever get a mishaberich, like when you get an aliyah, so they say ba'avur. So when you say ba'avur, some poskim say that's an iser to be menasa kadosh baruch hu. You shouldn't say like, since I did this, you should do this for me. Right. So you shouldn't say like, I mean, listen, if you look in all the old neschos, there's no such thing. Ba'avur shem espalim ba'avur. There's no such thing. The school of dafka was to give tzedakah. Because there's a concept we learned from Maaser Ani, that in Maaser Ani, it's an exception to the rule. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you are allowed to ask for things in return when you give tzedakah. So that's why many poskim, Rav Soloveitchik had a different reason also for why you should give. I forgot what it is, but yet another reason also why it's better dafka to give tzedakah than to say anything else. But anyway, there is such a concept. Oh sure, didn't you guys have that Gemara? No, yeah, that Gemara on daf Amid Aleph. No, yeah. Okay, whatever. So that's perhaps Shitas Rashi, but if you look in the sugya that we mentioned last time in Tes Amid Beis in Bava Kamma, by the way, I looked in there's no Maral. Did I said it was the Maral in Bava Kamma? There's no Maral there that says anything about the Rambam. I don't know. I have to look in that. I forgot where when I was looking in one of these raid books, and he said the Maral argues on the Rambam, but I haven't found it yet. I looked where they said to look, and it wasn't there, so maybe somewhere else. But anyway, so if you look in the Gemara there in Bava Kamma, they talk about b'mitzvah ad shlish. So they said, what do you mean? What's shlish? Shlish beso? He should spend one-third of his money on a mitzvah? So he says, well, if he has three mitzvahs to do at once, then he's going to become a very poor man. He's going to have $0 to his name. Right, so the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Hider mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. You should spend a third of the mitzvah, you know, to accomplish the mitzvah. So right away you see from the Gemara that even by shar mitzvahs there's a cap. There's a cap for how much money you should spend. And Tosfos over there brings in the, Tosfos Dir Maskeli Lema over there brings in the Gemara here, Hamavazvez Ayavazvez Yosem Yechomish. So they said that, you see, the cap of Hamavazvez does have a shaykhis to shar mitzvahs as well. Also, if you look in the Ravid's even more clear about it. The Ravid asks Sakash, he says, Tmi'ali is the Chedushi Ravid in Baba Kamma, Daf Testament base. So he says, Tmi'ali, v'chiyesh damim l'mitzvahs. He says, wait a minute, we don't put value on mitzvahs. We don't say this mitzvah only goes up to X dollars. Eich yachol hu lomar, lo ekne lulav esrig ad kedei kach v'kach. You're not allowed to say, I'm not going to buy a lulav and esrig unless it's, you know, I'll pay $50 for dalad minim and no more. You're not allowed to say that. Right? Umi samlahem damim. Who put a price tag on it? V'alo mitzvah ha'achas tishve kol mamona. One mitzvah should be worth everything you own. It says, v'yesh lomar ad kedesh lo yavo li de'oni v'yitztarach lebrius. So he says, no, no, no. We have a different idea that you shouldn't become poor and therefore required stock. Right? That last line, va'oni kemisahu, again, you have to be very careful, doesn't mean literally. Right? You can't say that working on Shabbos is pikuach nefesh, because otherwise you'll be a poor man and you'll be like a mace. Right? So he says, but lamaisa, there is an inyan to try to stay very far away from becoming poor. Yeah.
Nirvitz is now, I don't understand how Nirvitz is a riot for that. There's a cap of mitzvah. That's saying that.
No. It's not Hidr Mitzvah that's the riot. It's the Havamina that led up to Hidr Mitzvah. The Gemara started off, it says, B'mitzvah ad shlish. It says, what do you mean, B'mitzvah ad shlish? Yis rami le t'losa mitzvah, yoev le kula beise. If he winds up with having three mitzvahs to do, he's going to pay all of his money? He says, no. B'hidr mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. So he says, you should pay up to one third of what the mitzvah would have normally cost. There's a question over there. You look in Rashi and Tosfos over there. They'll try to figure out how do you calculate the shlish. Okay. But whatever that means. So Lamaisa, just getting back. So you see from Tosfos and the Ravid that it does apply to Shar Mitzvahs. And this is also the Shita of the Ramah. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way in Hilchos Dalet Minim, where he talks about Dafka buying a lulav and esrig. Where is that Maramakam? The Maramakam is a tough ration in Vav Sif Aleph. And if you look in the Bi'ur Halacha over there, the Bi'ur Halacha asks the Kasha that we all are familiar with, how could it be that when it comes to Shar Mitzvahs, there's a Chiyuv to not overspend more than a fifth, if we know that the Gemara in Kiddushin on Chavtes Amid Beis says that there's a case where he only has five slime to his name. Who should he do? Should he do himself or should he do his son? Right, so the Gemara Paskins, he should go before his son. So what do you mean? Nobody should go, right? Nobody should go. You should say, listen, I have five slime to my name. It's going to cost me 100% of my current income. So I shouldn't have to do anything. So Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah has a teretz. A bunch of different teretz. The Mishnah Berurah has a teretz in the Bi'ur Halacha over there. The Bi'ur Halacha is Divur Maskil. In a second. Where is it? One second. The Mishnah Berurah is It's the Bi'ur Halacha and Tav Reish Nun Vav Divrei Maskil Afilu. So anyway, the Mishnah Berurah there has it. You get anybody remember what he says? No, he says if you most of us, Baruch Hashem, a lot of us are wealthy, but even those of us who aren't wealthy, even if we spend every last penny, you get paid tomorrow. So he's saying it's not, it's mutter to be mevazvez yosem echomesh if you know there's money coming in. The question is, today I only have five slime to my name. So am I mechuyiv to do pidyon haben? Of course I'm mechuyiv to do pidyon haben, because payday's tomorrow, I'm going to have more money, I'm not going to go hungry, everything will be normal. I'm saying most people at the end of the day wind up being mevazvez yosem echomesh simply because they realize that next month's check is due, and they're willing to give money to tzedakah because there's another check coming in. Yeah.
Isn't that implying that you don't think, I guess, it gets rid of the whole idea of ani v'os hashah?
No, it's saying that there's no chashash of shemi yitztarech lebrios if somebody's going to give you $10,000 tomorrow. Saying, like, if you know for a fact, like clockwork, I'm getting $10,000 tomorrow, and today I only have $100, and I have plenty of food in the refrigerator, and the chances of my house exploding, within the next 24 hours, and someone's going to need an immediate payment, they're almost none. So you don't have to say, well, I can't give away this $100 for the mitzvah because then I'll be dirt poor. So what if you're dirt poor? Tomorrow you're getting $10,000. So you're good to go, I'm saying. So there's no chashash of shemit starach lebrios. So let's say there's more. Let's say it's not the Lawrence public school system. It's Jews who believe in Baal Tullin. I'm saying it's Jews who, there's an Issa Daraisa of Baal Tullin Pula Sachir. If somebody does work for you, you got to pay him right away. Okay, so let's say it's you have the right to assume that the Jews you work for will keep the halacha. Yeah.
But say the case of the 5-7, he's already in starting.
He's already poor, so let him spend more money. I don't know. L'chora, every penny counts, meaning that's like saying, Sir Shech had this shiloh also. Let's say you're on tuition assistance. You know, should you now, let's say the kid has a summer job. He made $300 last summer. Should he give some of that money to the yeshiva to pay for his tuition? So Shech thought, yeah, you should. He said, every penny counts. You shouldn't take more tzedakah than you need. If you need it, you need it. But if you have extra money sitting in the bank account, just because you want to boost the kid's self-esteem, you know, that he made $300 last summer, but Lamaisa, you can't boost the kid's self-esteem at the expense of the no snake stalker. You have to give every penny you have. You should give back to try to make up for the stalker that you're getting. So if you have 5 slime and you're like, big deal, 5 more slime to take from stalker, that's not a good cheshbon. You know, you should say, I want to take as little stalker as possible. Anyway, that's the Mishnah Berurah's famous tarot. It's a long beer aloha. It's good to check it out. Rav Moshe, in the newest chelik of Igris Moshe, it's some people like it, some people don't. By the time you guys are buying Igris Moshe's already, it's part and parcel of the set. But when I bought Igris Moshe, there were only 7 volumes. This is the 8th volume. So the 8th volume is not debated anymore. Time settled the issue. But at the time when it came out 15 years or so after Moshe already died, so some people didn't like it, some people did like it. Okay, Lamaisa, the tshuva is a good tshuva regardless. So Ramosha basically says he doesn't like the Mishnah Berurah's pshat at all, and he wants to say a totally different pshat. So he says, what's the pshat? That there are 2 different types of mitzvahs here. He says, let's say you have the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. That's where the Rama makes his quote, right, by lulav and esrog. So do you have a chiv to buy a lulav and esrog? Does anyone hold you have a chiv to buy a lulav and esrog? Of course not. You have a chiyuv to have a lulav and esrog. Are you less of a tzaddik if somebody gives you a lulav and esrog before sukkah and says, here you go, use it in good health or whatever? So I'm saying, you're not less of a tzaddik because you didn't buy the lulav and esrog yourself. There's no mitzvah to buy the lulav and esrog, right? There's a mitzvah to take the lulav and esrog on sukkahs. So therefore, the Torah never commanded you to buy yourself a lulav and esrog. Memela, you can't have a lulav and esrog unless you first buy one, and therefore there is some underlying principle that you have to go out and buy a lulav and esrog. But that's where Chazal put the cap on the spending. They said when there's a mitzvah that's not defined, there's a general chiyuv to go out there and to make sure you give some money for something. So then Chazal said that's an undefined mitzvah for undefined amount of dollars. We're going to put a cap on that and say that you shouldn't spend more than 20% of your money. So therefore, they said, Hamavazves, by tztaka, which is undefined. Tztaka, you could give $1, you could give $1 million. It's very much unclear how much a person's going to wind up giving. So too, by dalad minim, where the ikar is not by the mitzvah, the ikar is you're going to have to spend some undefined sum of money to buy yourself the lulav and esrog. So therefore, they said, Ayivazves yosem mechomish. But by a mitzvah like Pidyon HaBen, where the mitzvah is giving the money, the mitzvah is 5 slime to the Kohen, there's no takan of Hamavazvez Ayivazvez Yosem Echomesh, because you know from the outset that the Torah is mechayev to give 5 slime to the Kohen. And therefore you have a chiv to fulfill that mitzvah even if you have no other money. So that's his big chiddush. So the problem with that is, and he points out himself, so the problem is that in the Hemshecha Gemara, the next line in the Gemara is fine. So if you have 5 slime to your name, and you can either do Pinyon HaBen for yourself or Pinyon HaBen for your son. So you do it for yourself. Then he says, let's say you have 5 slime, 5 slime to your name, and you can either do Pinyon HaBen or be Ola L'Regel. So that's the next question in the Gemara. Aliyah L'Regel is no set amount of money. So how could you say this Chiddush according to Aliyah L'Regel? So Moshe says, no. Aliyah L'Regel is a totally different story. Because Aliyah L'Regel, you don't have to spend a penny. You can walk. He says, you don't want to walk? That's optional then. I'm saying, like, you don't want to walk. The Torah isn't saying that you're off the hook from doing Aliyah L'Regel just because you only have 5 slime to your name. You could walk. So he's saying there, any money that you spend, you want to hire a taxi, you want to hire a horse and buggy, whatever you want to hire, that's your own decision. But the Torah is not going to tell you that you're off the hook because it's costing you more than 20% of your money to be Aliyah L'Regel. It could cost you 0% of your money to be Aliyah L'Regel. Yeah.
Does it, any, does, is, does the status of an Unib, does that make him put there from, you know, missions that require you to use money?
The status of an Unib,
like, let's say this guy didn't have, right, Gemara, right, instead of having five slugs, he had no money. Would he be chayiv to do it, you know, then?
He's chayiv to do it as soon as he gets the money. Right, we say for most mitzvahs we don't require a person. We don't require a person to collect tzedakah. Right, we said dafka for mitzvahs of pirsumei nisa. Right, remember we spoke about this by Ner Chanukah. There's a chiyuv to collect tzedakah to buy Ner Chanukah. There's a chiyuv to collect tzedakah for dalet kosos. There's a chiyuv to collect tzedakah for what's called? What's the other one? Mikra Megillah. I guess if you can't afford a Megillah, that's also pirsumei nisa. Anyway. But Lamaisa, it only says it beferish by Dalet Kosos, and it only says it beferish in a Mishnah by Dalet Kosos. The Rambam also applies it to Chanukah. Okay, let's leave that aside for now. But other mitzvahs, you don't have to, you know, other mitzvahs, you don't have to collect stock in order to do those mitzvahs. When you have the money, you should do it. But up until then, it's Anas Rachmana Patre. Okay, anyway, the Chazon Ish has a little bit of a different model. He has a whole bunch of answers. But the Pashut, you know, couple of answers that the Chazon Ish gives. This is the Chazon Ish on the daf in Kedushin Chav Tes Amud Beis. The Chazon Ish says, really, it's actually the one exception to the rule. Meaning, really, by other mitzvahs, you don't have a chiyuv to be mevazeh with Yosef Mechomish, but by Pidyon HaBen, you do. Why by Pidyon HaBen do you have to be mevazeh with Yosef Mechomish? He says, because it's what we call a milvah ksuvah b'torah. And the rule is milvah ksuvah b'torah k'ksuvah b'shtar dami. Right, so therefore there's a shibud nechasim that exists that the Kohen has on you for those five slime. So if you're mishubid to somebody for the five slime, and he could even be motzim yad alekuchos, so therefore you have to make sure that you give those five slime to the Kohen. Mashenki, in every other mitzvah, he doesn't have a shibud nechasim on your money, and therefore you're not mechuyev to be mevaz with Yosef Mechomesh for anyone except the Pidyon HaBen. He says, same kasha. What about Aliyah LeRegel? So he says similar to what Ramosha said. One second. Yeah, he says a couple of answers. One answer is similar to Ramosha. He says that basically, what money are you going to spend while you're being LeRegel? You're just going to spend it on food and drink and whatever. So he said, so therefore, that's not considered that the mitzvah is costing you any money. That's one answer that he gives. He gives another answer. He says, you could all just give an ukimta to the Gemara, where the Gemara is just talking about a case where you spent all your money for the month, and now this is what you have left. Meaning, you bought all your groceries, you bought everything else, and now you should have five slum to your name. It's not that you're a poor man, right? He says, this actually, the Teretz makes a lot of sense if you think about it. No one ever said that he was poor and he only had five slum to his name. It's just the end of the month, and he has 100 steaks in his freezer that he's planning on eating for the next 100 days, and he has he lives in the lap of luxury. Happens to be he only has five slim because it's the end of the month, and he bought everything he needs. So there, you could say he's an anibos hashav, but not to the extent that he's going to be mitzdarach lebrios anytime soon. Right, he doesn't. There's not going to be a time where he needs to collect from tzedakah because he has everything already lined up for himself, and this is just the money that he has left over. So it happens to be today he only has five slime to his name, and therefore should he use it for mitzvah A or for mitzvah B? A third svar he throws out there about Aliyah LeRegel is, he says, let's say the guy just wants to go to Yerushalayim. He loves Yerushalayim. He loves Eretz Yisrael. He wants to see all the Jews being all LeRegel. He wants to make the bracha when you see 600,000 Jews. He's just excited about it. So. He says, so this is the svara we said before. He says, that guy has the right to spend money on things that make him happy. You know, the same way, a guy wants to buy a video game. He doesn't have enough money for milk. He's going to buy a video game. Okay, so that's kind of foolish, but that's not an isser. Saying, so too, the guy only has five slime. The Torah wasn't mechayev him to spend that money. And not only that, we told him not to spend the money, but here... He's not spending it on the mitzvah. He's spending it on the gishmak that he's going to get out of doing the mitzvah. He's spending it. I don't know how gishmak Pidyon HaBen could ever be. I don't know. But Lamaisa, Aliyah LeRegel is this tremendous experience that you could see all the Jews bringing their karbanos, and it's exciting and it's incredible. So you want to be a part of it. You don't want to say, listen, I don't have enough money and I'm not mechuyev to spend the money, so therefore I'm not going to do Aliyah LeRegel. do the Aliyah L'Regel, spend the money, and it's not in violation, because it's like this, it's like we said, by supporting Talmud Torah, it's a commodity. You're getting something in return. You know, we wouldn't tell you it's usher to go on the vacation. We can't tell you it's usher to go Aliyah L'Regel. Anyway, okay, that's there's a lot more svaras. Everybody gives an answer to this kasha, but that's the basic idea. Yeah.
Where's
Ramosha? Ramosha is in the last chelik, Igris Moshe chelik hay simon. It's a Rechaim chelik hay simon tough resh nun vav. Short shuva. Yeah. Okay. We'll hold over there.